You're listening to Leveling Up, and I'm Arielle, your host. Welcome back to Leveling Up. My name is Arielle, and I'm your host. Welcome to episode 3. I can't believe we're making it here. We're just trucking along. Episode 1, 2, and now 3. So if you've been with me all along since the beginning of my journey, the entire 3 episodes that we have thus far, thank you. If you're just joining us or just joining me, I want to welcome you to my journey where we talk about life, fitness, health, wellness, all sorts of awesome things. And really the whole idea is that here we learn how to do life better. So for episode 3, I'm calling this the rise and hopefully fall of hardcore fitness culture. And I wanted to use this episode as an opportunity to have a dialogue about the fitness world in which I reside and you reside in too. If you are a recreational fitness person, and whether you're an athlete, bodybuilder, competitor, whatever you are a fitness person. And whether you work out at home, if you go for a run on the street, it doesn't really matter. You are an athlete and you are a fitness person. And I wanted to have a conversation about what we call hardcore fitness. And hardcore fitness is what has given way to a term called the rise of fitness culture. And I want to emphasize the culture part because the word cult, right? And if you think about the word cult, a cult involves a group of people who are like-minded, who may sometimes be blinded or obsessed by a greater cause. And they band together and they have their own terminology and their own way of life. And they might even eat a certain way. Like, for example, people called CrossFit a cult because CrossFit, they don't call them CrossFit gyms. They call them CrossFit boxes. And CrossFit has its own lingo, its own vocabulary. CrossFitters typically eat a paleo lifestyle. So there's this whole concept that it's an all-encompassing lifestyle. So I'm going to emphasize the word cult when I talk about this fitness culture because there's this push going on, not just here in Los Angeles, but all over the United States to be more active, which in turn then gives way to dieting. So now we have this lifestyle of living and breathing, but also the way that we are eating. And in this cult, people push each other to become more active. They egg each other on, they encourage them, they compare themselves with one another to take more classes, to spend more time in the gym, and they challenge each other. Like, who can do more cardio and whose workouts were more difficult and how many workouts did you do today and what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you eating? What are you going to eat or not going to eat or what did you eat or what's your pre-workout, post-workout, your supplements? Like this whole like dialogue. And that is the rise of hardcore fitness. It's this obsession. When I say this obsession, I'm sure you've seen on social media that it's like, hashtag no days off, hashtag no pain, no gain, or, you know, sweat is fat crying. And, you know, I don't even know anymore, but I'm just going to say is like, this is perpetuated by social media and especially with the hashtags and specifically Instagram is responsible for this excessive training. And I say not just Instagram, but social media in general, where we document our workouts, where we record our workouts, where we film each other, where we, you know, post pictures of ourselves on the stair machine, and then we take pictures of how many miles we ran, and then we feel the need to post, you know, every meal that we eat or that we didn't eat. And there's this constant public validation, but what's happening with Instagram is that it's leading to people to overtraining. And this overtraining, it isn't fitness anymore. It's this chase after, you know, a curated image on a 4-inch screen that's between our thumbs. And, you know, somewhere along the way, we didn't think that we looked good enough. Somewhere along the way, we saw an image, we looked at something, and we thought that I need to look like that. And when I look like that, everything in my world is going to get better. When I look like that, I'm going to have the girl or the guy. And when I look like that, I'm going to be happy. And when I look like that, I'm going to make more money. And the sad reality of it all is that looking a certain way does not render those things. People who love you, if you were to ask them, don't love you for what's on the outside. They love you for what's on the inside. So I really want to continue to remind everyone that's listening is that you are perfect in this very moment. This is where you are supposed to be. And it's okay if you want to evolve and you want to level up and you want to rise, but it's not okay to allow social media to feed into this obsession with ourselves, this endless thirst to have what others have or to want what others have. And we think that what we have isn't enough or it isn't desirable. And we seem to think that what's on that screen, that dream body, that perfect man, that perfect woman, or that tasty, healthy food, or the best gym, or that workout, that it feeds into this element of shame that, like, what we have isn't good enough. Well, I don't work out at that gym, so I guess then I'm not doing it right. Or I don't have those workout pants, so I guess then I could work out better if I had better quality pants. Or, you know, look at this person who's traveling. For example, there's a viral video of a gym. It's called the Jungle Gym in Tulum in Mexico. And there's these like wood weights and these stone weights. And there's all these like influencers all over the world who go and they take videos of themselves inside or outside on this beach working out at this jungle gym. And people will flock to Tulum because they want to go to the jungle gym. Well, let me tell you, I went to the jungle gym. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. It's some weights on a beach. That's it. Yet somehow we look at that and we want it because someone else says it's cool. And what I want to continue to discuss throughout the course of this episode is that we feel like what we have isn't good enough or somehow it isn't valuable. And instead of feeling proud of ourselves and celebrating what we've achieved, you know, we're left feeling empty because it, air quotes again, for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, it is never good enough. So this hashtag InstaFitness has developed from InstaFamous personalities. Many of you, I know many of you know this, but Instagram was down last week for like 10 hours. It was a big deal. Everyone's refreshing their feed. People are freaking out, melting down, myself included. I was like, oh my God, who am I? I'm kind of being a little bit dramatic here, but you know, what if Instagram was deleted? What happens to these Insta models, these Insta famous, Insta fit personalities? So much of the fitness world right now is governed by these Insta famous personalities. And something that I want to bring up is that many of these people don't hold qualifications or certifications and credentials to be dispensing training advice. And they're called an influencer. And they're influencing you to buy this product, to buy these clothes, to use their discount code for this protein powder, because they have a platform of hundreds of thousands and maybe even million of people while they're peddling, and I use the word peddling their whatever. And most often, what they're peddling is this one-size-fits-all kind of programming. So, you know, if you subscribe to my fitness program for $29.99 a month, you're going to get a program from me, made and designed by me. And while those Instagram personalities are brilliant marketers, undoubtedly beautiful human specimens, what they're really saying is buy my program and you will look like me. And that's what I hear and that's what I think when I look at these programs or I look at these big box accounts. You know, it says buy my program and these right here, this body is the result. My program is going to make you happier because you will have that bikini body that you always wanted. That's what I think of when I see that. And the reality is we need to be real. One, that's not possible. Two, that's not happening. And three, it's not realistic. It's not realistic. So while you may see, you know, results initially when you buy a program, and I don't want to devalue anyone's success or hard work. That's not what I'm saying here. Those results from these one-size-fits-all programs won't last because one-size-fits-all programming can't work. And I'll get into the reason why it can't work in a second, but I want you to hold that thought because I want to talk about this concept of the influencer. There was a recent scandal about a Instagram model/fitness personality named Brittany Davis out of Texas. Now, Brittany Davis has 500,000 followers on Instagram, and she's an influencer. And she was recently brought up on egregious charges of stealing from customers that bought her program and never delivering the product. Part of the allegations against her were that she guaranteed 24/7 accessibility to her, so you could like text her and call her and, you know, she'll respond to you and all those kinds of things. But the thing is she says this, and I did a lot of research on her over the last, you know, month and a half or so, that, you know, she became so overwhelmed by the influx of people trying to, you know, reach her, get a hold of her, who wanted, you know, a little piece of who she was, that she got overwhelmed and she couldn't handle the volume. But the thing is she took people's money. If you go to her Instagram page, which I've gone to it, I don't follow her and I would never follow her because she doesn't resonate with me. And I'll talk about influencers and who resonates with me and why or why not later on. But the thing that I found profound was I wanted to read the comments in the last month and a half on her page, and it's heartbreaking. There's these women all over the world that bought into her dream, that bought into her false promise of buy my program, you will look like me. And the part that breaks my heart is that not only did you sell them something that was a lie, you didn't sell them anything. These people didn't get anything. And for a lot of these people, they wrote that, like, my 16-year-old daughter saved her money to buy your program. And, you know, you can't even refund the money. And that's the thing. She's not refunding money. So this term influencer in this fitness day and age, like, we need to reevaluate who we call an influencer. Like, to have influence, to me, I think of influence as a term that has the ability to empower, inspire, to enact change. To influence means to create something, in the aspect of it lights a fire in someone. It's like a domino effect that you lead by example and other people want to follow. You have influenced them with your expertise or your dynamic energy, or you've inspired them by using your story to influence them to make change. To influence, to me, isn't selling protein powder, isn't selling a program, because as I've mentioned before, a lot of these people that are selling these programs are not qualified. And in this case with Brittany Davis, you see that not only was she, listen, I don't know if she's not qualified, I don't know her credentials, but she was not qualified to be able to deliver on a product. And that's stealing, and that is wrong. So I think in this rise of this fitness culture, how and where, when we spend our money, it needs to seriously be regulated, or we need to think about how we spend our money. So coming back to my other thought, where I was talking about that this one size fits all program doesn't work. And here's why. Let's liken it to education, because I know you guys know that I'm a teacher. For those of you who are just tuning in, I am a full-time teacher as well as a fitness professional. And in education, we know that every student learns through different modality. Plain and simple. You know this. Think about yourself. How do you learn best? I know for myself, I'm visual and kinesthetic. I do not learn just by listening. To me, hearing things is super abstract. Reading things helps, but I have to annotate it deeply. Every single person is distinctly different. So we know in a classroom that some students have, you know, aids, they have a one-on-one. Some students are special education and they receive different services or a self-contained classroom. Some students are highly gifted. Some kids are honor students. Some are in a magnet program with a very specific focus. Some learn, like I mentioned, by doing, hence kinesthetic, getting up and moving. That's why we have some of our kids that have a, you know, strong athletic leaning, you know, our athletes, right? And then we have also our artists, people who are much more visual, like myself. And there are people who learn by listening, some people who learn just by seeing. And well, just like anywhere else, we have some who don't put in the work and then wonder, why we aren't doing well, or why am I not passing? And it's the same in the fitness world. Doesn't it sound familiar? Oh, I don't want to diet and I don't want to exercise and why don't I see changes? It's the same thing, fitness and education, right? So a one-size-fits-all approach to either, whether it's a fitness program or whether it's to employing educational advice or educational academic content, rather, that, you know, programming for our bodies and the classroom must be differentiated to achieve results, period. Everybody, and I'm going to emphasize the body, is different. We require personalized attention, right? So when I say personalized attention, we require personalized attention for our unique bodies, and we also require personalized attention in education. We all learn at different rates, different paces, through different styles, and in fitness, it's the same way. You know, your goals should be designed for your body based upon where you want to go and what you want to do with your body. Your health history plays a role, and so much more. So in order for a fitness program to be effective beyond the short term with lasting results, an expert needs to take the time to tailor workouts, to readjust workouts, to check in with you, to reevaluate your macros and other approaches to eating to ensure safe, effective, and long-lasting results. And trust me, and I say trust me, that the wrong coaching can mean all the difference in your long-term health and well-being, as I'm living proof of someone who was coached by someone who basically gave me a version of her workouts as well as her diet. And it worked initially. And this was for my first bodybuilding show. I hired a completely brand new, inexperienced coach. I didn't have the money to pay for someone who is highly qualified, because great bodybuilding coaches will cost you hundreds of dollars a month. And as being someone who is new, brand new to the sport, my husband and I thought, okay, well, here's an opportunity to hire someone who's new, give them a shot, and, you know, we'll go from there because it's more financially feasible for us. So this woman, who was also a figure competitor, met with me for lunch, and she said, okay, and this was in like April, May-ish, said, okay, well, I'm thinking an 11-week prep for you, so you'll do a Labor Day. You'll do a Labor Day show, and, you know, we'll get you started with a diet and a program, and you're going to train 6 days a week, and you're going to drink a gallon of water. And she gave me her program and her diet, and initially the weight melted off. I mean, within a month, I was looking awesome. Within a month and a half, I was looking great. So like by end of July, I had visible abs, my booty was small, I had trimmed down so much and so fast. And, you know, after about 6 months after the show, I tried to stay as vigilant as I could to my diet, but you can't stay on a bodybuilding prep forever. It's torture, first of all, and also it's not realistic. And I did not have proper guidance to reverse diet either. But my point about inexperienced coaches and people who are not qualified is 4 weeks before my show, this woman dropped me because I was telling her I was really hungry and I was really depleted and I was having a really hard time. And 4 weeks before my show, she tells me, I don't think you have what it takes to be a bodybuilder. Unfortunately, I'm going to discontinue working with you. So she dropped me 4 weeks before my very first show, and I was clueless. And thankfully, so many people in my community via social media, I guess irony of irony, stepped up to help me. But about 6 months after, because I did not have someone with the proper expertise to take me through a prep that was healthy for my body, I was way too heavy, way too fatty, and did not have enough muscle to go into an 11-week prep. People who do 11 and 12-week preps are highly seasoned athletes that are much leaner than I am. And I typically naturally err on a more fatty side. So an 11-week prep time for me was aggressive. So it damaged me. It damaged my body. I suffer from severe metabolic damage as a result. And the results were not immediate. So about 6, 8, 9 months after, the weight slowly started to come back. And no matter how much I restricted myself, no matter how hard I worked, no matter the intensity of my workouts, no matter who even attempted to help me, over the last year and a half of my life, all I have done is try to rectify the damage. And I firmly believe that had I have worked with someone initially who put me on a safe prep where I was cutting weight over a long period of time or even building muscle, I really should have been on about a year long worth of prep. 11 weeks where I wasn't my starting point was most definitely not an appropriate time frame for me. It was dangerous. And now I have to sit here and deal with the results of it. So, you know, I implore you, please, to do your research when you're on social media and you're looking at these people and you're buying their programs or you're supporting them. You know, when you buy a program, you're voting. You're saying, I like you and I like what you're doing, but do your due diligence. I would hate for anyone to ever end up like me. So what I want to talk about is a $29 subscription program from Instagram, as far as I'm concerned, is not enough for you or for me. And it's not even about the program per se. It's what happens from this hardcore fitness culture. So this hardcore fitness culture goes so much more than, and it's so much more damaging than any cheap workout or diet could ever be. I want us to think about how we feel when we scroll through our newsfeed on Instagram. Like, what kind of emotions do you associate as you're thumbing up and you're double tapping? And what we see is toned and tanned bodies on a beach, on top of a mountain, looking off pensively, flexing and lifting their shirt to reveal abs, you know, or even someone like cooking in the kitchen with their shirt off or, you know, their shirt up and saying, you know, hashtag abs are made in the kitchen, or even posing provocatively for that perfect booty shot. And I know you girls, you know what I'm talking about, with this like arch in your spine and your booty pops out and you're looking over one shoulder and it's from the side. And I mean, I'm guilty of it, but all of these things in this fitness imagery that's being, you know, cranked out has harmful effects on us. It has harmful effects on our confidence, on our self-esteem, on our body image, on our self-worth. So I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, this imagery is the opposite side of fitness. I see fitness as, you know, body inclusivity, not exclusivity. And I'm starting to feel like the world that we're living in is that fitness has become an extreme sport. You know, the sport of looking a certain way is what we're focusing on right now. And that's not fitness. Instead of excessive exercise and dramatic weight loss and disordered eating that we're celebrating and promoted like badges of honor, you know, we look at that as someone thinking that that's mental grit and determination, when in reality, it's completely warped. We look at these people who are like, you know, writing on social media that they woke up today at 5 a.m. and they did 60 minutes on the stair stepper, and then they lifted, and then they went to work and came back to the gym, and then they, you know, did cardio and lifted again. And we're heralding that it's like, you know, a crowning achievement of mankind. And that's not a crowning achievement of mankind. It's an obsession, and it's an unhealthy obsession. And for me, I've had to really work really hard over the last like couple of years since my bodybuilding show, as my weight started to increase and as my body started to change. And for those of you that are watching on YouTube, you can see my face is starting to change because I'm emotional about it. The first order of business for me was to unfollow these like big box accounts. These accounts that I looked at and had a visceral reaction to, where I would almost seize up and my shoulders would cave in around me, and I wasn't feeling good about myself. I looked at these women and I hated who I was. I was filled with shame. And if I'm being completely honest, I even have some of these feelings with people who I'm friends with. And I'm going to again use friends, but maybe even people on the periphery of my life. And I'm going to say, for anyone who is struggling with body image, part of regaining back your sense of self is first and foremost unfollowing people who evoke negative emotions. Plain and simple. not just aesthetically. Bad juju all around. Fill your feed with optimism and positivity and people who lift you up and people who you want to be around. But I got to tell you, the last thing that you want to do is go ahead and consciously surround yourself with people that evoke from you a negative feeling and emotion. So there's a very famous Instagram trainer out of Australia, and I'm not going to use her name because my job here isn't, at least how I feel, I'm not here to like blast anyone or hurt anyone, but I'm using this person to share a story. She has this program that's called BBG, and it's her, you know, bikini body guide. She has 11.2 million followers, and I had to write that down because I, A, didn't know how many followers she had, and I didn't know what her program was. I knew she had a program, but I didn't know what it stood for. So this woman who over the years occasionally would pop up in my sponsored feed or like my best friend would send me some of her workouts, and I think she follows her. And we talked about her, and I'd say, I just don't get it. I don't get it. First of all, she doesn't resonate with me physically, but I just don't get how millions and millions and millions of people could subscribe to this, because I don't understand it. But I'm getting to my point. She's only 5'5". I'm only 5 feet, but 5'5" isn't tremendously tall. But given the way her videos and her images are portrayed, she looks easily 5'8", 5'10", you know, 6 feet tall. And we know that, again, Instagram is an image. It's a carefully curated image. And I always say that, a carefully curated image that we choose to share with the world. Nobody's going to share their worst side or their bad side. Everything that we're going to share is going to be us looking at least what we believe to be our best side. So her body type is very different than mine. I'm short and I'm dense, and this woman is what I thought was tall when in reality she's 5'5", but she's got very lean, softer frame, softer muscle. I like CrossFit-esque kind of physiques. I like, you know, bolder shoulders, and I like, you know, wings, which would be lats. I like teardrop quads. And that is just a preference of aesthetics that I celebrate. And I celebrate that because as a woman, for a woman to be able to get to that level, to have that kind of definition, it has taken so much hard work in the gym and a manicured diet that is success. But this woman and I look completely different. So I don't follow her because I don't think that her workout program would work for me. I look at her body, and while she has a very lean physique and she's a beautiful woman, her approach and her workouts aren't for me. Yet millions and millions of people are buying it, but I'm willing to bet that her program probably wouldn't work for me because my body needs a different type of fitness, precisely because we are different people. And that doesn't devalue what she does and who she is, because she's clearly built an empire. But what I'm telling you, everyone that's listening, male, female, however you identify as a gender, is that if someone on social media doesn't make you feel good about yourself and you don't feel good while looking at that account, don't look at it. Plain and simple. Now, evidently by her 11.2 million followers and her, you know, fellow famous IG compatriots, my issue isn't with her. It's not a personal thing. It's a general thing. And the general thing is, and I'm going to read this because I wrote it down and I want to share it, is that she had posted back in April a tightly cropped photo of herself where it was her lying down, this Instagram person in Australia. Her shirt was up, revealing shredded, tanned abdominals with a smile on her face. And the caption read, "Remember that your journey is your journey and not anyone else's. Don't ever compare yourself to anyone else, not the girl in the magazine, not the girl on Instagram, not your friends, not even me." I've got to tell you, it's a lovely sentiment, but I'm sorry, it just feels empty to me. You can promote positivity without the abdominal shot. You can, as a matter of fact, have inspirational words to post, but why do you need the abs? And I've got to say, is that photo simply makes me feel bad about myself. Her messaging is fine. I think it's beautiful, but it just feels trite. It feels cheap to me. And I've got to tell you, I have zero tolerance for bullshit captions like that. Bullshit. What do your abdominals have anything to do with, you know, journey? You know, I've talked about this before, but a large portion of people who have abs, you've worked for it, awesome. But there are a lot of people who have abs because it's just their genetic coding and they have low body fat naturally. I do not have a naturally low body fat. My husband has a naturally low body fat percentage and, you know, it's much easier for him to lose weight than it is for me. And it's much easier for my husband to have abs if he wanted to have abs. We're all different and that's the beautiful thing. But I have got to say that I think that taking a photo of your abs with this hashtag, you know, find your own motivation is grandstanding, it's bragging and it's boasting. That's what it is. And it doesn't inspire me. And my journey isn't your journey. And I want to say why, you know, my journey isn't these people's journey or anyone else's journey. So I've had 4 knee surgeries, and I haven't spoken about this up until this point in my podcast. 4 knee surgeries. I've had my ACL, MCL, and meniscus done multiple times. I blew out my first knee when I was 17, turning 18 in high school. That was my left knee. My right knee, I blew out my first year in college, and then I blew it out again in my second year of college. And then I had it operated on again about 3 or 4 years ago. I have trained, competed, and placed in my first and likely only bodybuilding show of my life. And I say likely my only bodybuilding show because of the metabolic damage that I have suffered as a result of my first show. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to compete again. And that's okay. But I've also competed as a power lifter. I also have CrossFitted. And I'm proud to say that last year I competed in and completed my very first CrossFit Open, and I had RX'd all the workouts. Now, for those of you who CrossFit and you do the open, RX is a term that I'm going to use lightly because as long as you do the workout as prescribed, whether you finish or not is moot. It's that you still just did the workout as prescribed. But my metabolic damage as a result of yo-yo dieting and my inability to shed fat is a result of overtraining. It's a result, and it's really emotional for me because I did this to myself. I've also had bad advice and I've worked with bad people, but it's because of a toxic mindset. And it's neither here nor there. And that toxic mindset gets perpetuated by what we see, what these images are being pumped into our lives via social media. So no, I'm not that girl in the magazine. And I don't have 11.2 million followers on Instagram. And I have friends that are way more fit and more fit looking and don't work nearly as hard as I do. And does it suck? Yeah. But I'm a fighter, I'm a survivor, and I'm a warrior. I'm mentally tough, and I can rise up and beyond this. And not always, but usually I can, and many people cannot. Many people look at the photos on social media and on these influencers' accounts, and they feel discouraged. And I say, I can sometimes and not always look at these people's accounts and disconnect. But most people can't. Most people look at these accounts and they start to go into this negative dialogue for themselves. So coming back to this same post I was referencing with the tightly cropped photo and the abdominals is in April 2008, this influencer posted that photo. And here were some of the comments that people had wrote. Literally, work out every day and nowhere near as fit looking as you. I wish I was so skinny. Please help me. I would do anything to look like you. I have got to say that reading those things really hurts me. Clearly, the intended messaging is getting lost, and it's evident by those comments. And those were just 3 of hundreds of thousands. You know, there was 1,500 comments on that photo, you know, the messaging is clearly lost. So why the apps? Why not post a picture of you smiling or reading a book? Or for God's sake, in a field with poppies, like every other SoCal influencer is doing right now. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, here in Southern California, we have a poppy super bloom, a super bloom of wildflowers, and people are flocking to these preserves and these parks and these hikes to go take photos of themselves, like, you know, crouched in a bed of flowers with a hat on, you know, and then writing some inspirational quote about life. And, you know, just if you're going to do that, please, please, please do not trample the flowers, because this is a preserve. And if you destroy the flowers for the sake of a photo to get a double tap, aka a like, you're ruining it for other people. But I was kind of being sarcastic there. But again, I'm going to continue to say is, like, why the abs? What do the abs have to do with trying to motivate and inspire people? It's extrinsic motivation. And extrinsic motivation is a low form of long-term results when it comes to motivation. Like I had said earlier, so you get the abs, then what happens? You're not going to magically make more money because you have the abs. You're not going to all of a sudden find love because you have the abs. You're not going to get the recognition that you're craving from maybe your family, from your spouse, or from your friends, or from your boss, all because you have abs. So I don't know. Maybe I don't get it, and I don't think it's me. And I do know that I'm an outlier in a world and an industry that says that, you know, if I wake up and I do fasted cardio and then I lift and come back to the gym, like I was mentioning before, that, you know, that somehow my self-worth is toggled to that, and it's not. My self-worth is not toggled to how I look. And it's a really hard thing to say, because I do struggle with that on a daily basis. We all do. We all struggle with, my gosh, I'm working so hard and I don't look this way, and why isn't it happening? Then we go down this rabbit hole and it seems like you can't ever come back. But I just want to ask, is, how does an obsessive gym life and looking a certain way contribute to the legacy that you leave behind in this world? How? For God's sake, I sure as hell hope that at my funeral, you don't talk about how I looked. I would hope that people would revel in the things that I did in this world, like the children that I got to college, the way that I lived my life with honor and integrity and dignity. I sure as hell hope that nobody spends their time talking about the car I drove or where I lived, because none of that matters. And this world that we live in with these influencers is, we must take back our power, and we must not let these influencers continue to have that influence over us to derail us, to make us feel bad about ourselves, to make us feel like, you know, we are less than who we are and who we should be. So we need to take back our lives, and we need to do that by restoring balance to our fitness regimens. So working out every day, multiple times a day, with the incessant need to post how much you lifted or how light it was because it wasn't a heavy day, and, oh my God, I took 3 group fitness classes today, tells me that you're missing the point of life, health, and wellness. Because life is meant to be lived, my friends, and you can't live life if you're always in a gym. Sure, I'm going to say that, like, training for a show or a competition is really important. But if your life revolves around skipping social engagements, or you're fearful of missing a workout because it's going to derail your progress, then it makes me sad for you. It also makes me worry about your psychological state, but, you know, that's not living. It's not living if everything revolves around your boiled chicken breast and your rice and your steamed broccoli. It doesn't make you tough, and it doesn't make you strong for that kind of obsession and that restraint. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be so bold as to say it makes you dumb. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to apologize for saying that you are potentially causing your body irreparable damage. Overtraining can lead to so many things, and I've experienced, if not all of these, more. So I want to just kind of talk about what it does. I've mentioned metabolic damage. But What else that overtraining does is that it can make it nearly impossible for you to ever see results. Regardless of your diet and your fitness level. Overtraining also leads to injuries. You never quite heal. Something always hurts. Your rotator cuff and this and that, and it comes from excessive use. You know, you're held together with KT tape and you're wearing a brace and you come home and you're icing and heating padding every single day, but you're not an Olympian because you're working too hard. You're not giving your body the time that it needs to repair itself. Overtraining can lead to adrenal fatigue, plateaus, depression, fatigue and lethargy, excessive soreness, aches and pains, and so much more. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, this is the polar opposite of what fitness is supposed to do and be. Fitness is designed to extend our longevity. It is designed to keep our hearts and our minds healthy. It's designed to help us. And if I'm talking about this pendulum that has swung to the other side in this hardcore fitness realm, this rise and what I hope to soon be the fall of hardcore fitness culture is up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me. And it's up to everyone to hold others accountable to a truly healthy and well-rounded fitness program and to celebrate movement. And I say celebrate movement because it feels good. Because lifting weights builds bone density. It's what's going to keep women healthy as they age and prevent them from developing osteoporosis. It's also going to help men from decreasing muscle mass as they age. It's also going to be functional, first and foremost. Like, functional movement is essential to, hence the term functional, right? It's a great way, fitness, to disconnect. It's a great way for you to just forget about life and just blow off steam. It's detoxifying, but above all, like, fitness is supposed to be fun. If you're dreading your workouts, that's also a part of overtraining. But if you're like begrudgingly going to the gym, and let me tell you, I have gone through countless workouts where I had been crying through what I was doing. I would be on, you know, the treadmill at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I had to put on Backstreet Boys because Lord knows that was the only thing that was going to get me through it. And I was literally crying as I was sweating. And I make a joke sometimes in my fitness classes. It's like, you know, if you're crying, you know, nobody knows. Is it sweat or is it tears? And you know, and it's a joke, but like, your workout shouldn't make you cry. Like, you shouldn't cry because you're upset. You shouldn't cry because you don't want to be there. Fitness isn't about never taking a break. That's not what this is about. Our muscles need rest in order to grow. When we work out, our muscle fibers tear. And when they tear, when we are sore, is when they are, and we are resting, is when they are repairing themselves and healing. And what happens when we rest is it allows those muscle fibers to heal, to effectively build muscle. But if we don't rest, and we're constantly tearing those fibers and not allowing them the time to repair themselves, you're never going to see the progress that you hope to see. And it's going to lead into this massive cycle, as I've mentioned before, of you're going to work harder, you're going to restrict even more, and you're going to continue to get sicker, more tired. And I say fatigue and lethargy because for the last year and a half, and first, I've suffered from extreme brain fog. I would literally be coaching a workout and had no idea what I was doing. I would literally be in the middle of it, timing something, and be like, oh my God, what are we doing? And that's not what it's supposed to be. And that was because I was taxing my body to a level that, you know, it didn't need to be taxed because I wasn't seeing the results and I went into freakout mode. Fitness is about moving better in our bodies and nourishing it with wholesome food that keeps our mind and body fueled. So what I'm asking of you, my friends, and what I'm asking of you, my listeners, is will you join me? Will you join me in committing to restoring integrity to your life? Will you join me in rewriting the narrative that you tell yourself when you choose to skip a workout, that it's okay to skip a workout? Will you join me to treat yourself with kindness, compassion, and positivity, that you're not stupid, you're not ugly, you're not fat, You're not lame because you can't do something yet in the gym. What we tell ourselves is crucial to our success because thoughts become things. Our thoughts determine our reality. So be mindful of what you tell yourself, because what you tell yourself you believe, and what you believe is what you manifest. It's what happens. So I want you to join me in choosing to surround yourself with people and images that evoke feelings of inspiration, hope, excitement, and joy. So my question is can you do that? Can you choose you? Can you choose to say that I want to feel better about myself and know that I can take steps to make that happen? So I hope that you will join me in cleaning out your newsfeed, following inspiring people with accounts that promote genuine, well-rounded messages of health, wellness, fitness, and body positivity. As I mentioned before, body inclusiveness, because fitness is about inclusivity. I hope that you will join me on this journey of rewriting the narrative, or rewriting the tale we tell ourselves in this extreme world of fitness in which we currently reside, and lead our own quiet revolution, because together we are stronger and together we can do this. Thank you guys so much for listening to my third episode of Leveling Up. If you enjoyed what you listened to, please make sure that you share on all of your social media channels. I am located on pretty much like every channel, so I hope that you can pass along what we are doing together with other people. But like, subscribe, rate, all of those wonderful things, and find me, ironically enough, on Instagram at Ariel_Miller. Thank you so much, and together we do life better. Mwah!